I'm turning tonight for our teaching service to the first letter of John. The first letter of John and chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and I read verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Classic verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And my subject tonight is blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Assurance is also called the seal of the Spirit. That's another name given to assurance, the assurance of the believer. Another name given to assurance is eternal security, the eternal security of the believer. And another name given by Paul, he calls assurance the full assurance of hope. And in Romans chapter 8, we read, we are saved by hope. But remember, hope in the Bible is not a vain wish. Hope in the Bible is certainty. Anticipation. That's the meaning of hope. And I believe God gives a measure of assurance to every believer at conversion. Every believer has a measure of assurance at conversion. But my dear friends, there is a difference between assurance and arrogance. There is a difference between assurance and presumption. How could you be too sure of yourself? You see, the athletes, after they won, after they won a victory or a trophy, they say, I believe in myself. I believe in myself. Just believing in itself. How come? Oh, it's pathetic, really. We cannot believe in ourselves. But you see, assurance is different than self-deception. There are people who are self-deceived. They think they are Christians, but the Holy Spirit wind has never blown in their souls. Never. They may be born in so-called Christian nation. They may be born in a Christian home, but remember, as you heard it many times, God has no grandchildren. He has only children. And the children of God are those who have repented from their sins and who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we speak about assurance, do you know the Catholic Church denies assurance? They said it is a blasphemy. It is a blasphemy for anyone to say he's sure about his salvation. But it is the same with Islam. There is no assurance in Islam. That's why those who witness to Muslims, one of their expression when you ask them, even after they obey all the five pillars, will you go to Jannah? Will you go to heaven? Inshallah. That's their expression. Why? Because they don't know. They don't know. But my dear friends, if I can put a homework to you tonight, just take the first letter later, the first letter of John, and count how many times you find the verb to know, to know, to know. Because the letter was written to speak to the Gnostics, the people who think that you need to get to a certain degree, a top of knowledge, mystical knowledge, before you get to know God. So John is writing to them to say, no, you don't need anything. You don't need anything to know God. You just need to come to him in repentance and faith. That's the only condition. And you will know God. You will have fellowship with God. That's really what assurance means throughout the Bible and throughout the Christian faith. But you see, You can know, my dear friend. Maybe you are struggling with assurance. I met in my small life and being a pastor for a few decades now, I met believers. You can see all the signs of conversion in them, really. But they struggle with assurance. You know why you can know that you are saved or not? Because salvation is a gift. If you are given a gift, you know if you have it or not. Simple. So you can know. You can know that you are saved or not. But faith cannot be lost. Once somebody believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never be lost. Never. But assurance can be lost. But the good news is that assurance can be revived. Assurance can be rekindled. Assurance can be reanimated again for the believer. Now, assurance is objective, not subjective. And this is very important. It means it is based on my trust on the work of Jesus Christ. It is based on Calvary. You know what happened on Calvary? There at Mount Calvary, this is the greatest event in human history. God himself, as I was saying this morning, in 6 hours, taking upon himself, condensed and compressed the wrath of God, the anger of God, the fury of God upon you and me. Christ took it in that space of time of 6 hours on the cross of Calvary. So assurance is objective, it's not subjective. His blood signed our salvation, and the Holy Spirit seals the believer. Please retain that expression. The Holy Spirit stamps and seals the believer. And the seal of the Holy Spirit means, first of all, protection. The seal of the Holy Spirit means, second, ownership. And third, the seal of the Holy Spirit means security. So you have all those three things: protection, ownership, and security. But my dear brothers and sisters, before I proceed with anything, I want to tell you why this subject is so important. First of all, it makes a difference between us, the Reformed faith. We are a Reformed church. It makes a difference between us and the Armenians. You know, the Armenians are telling us that you can lose your salvation. You can choose God. You are not that totally depraved. That's what they are telling us. But the Bible says we are totally depraved. Nobody can choose God. Nobody can decide for God. And I challenge anyone to show me in the Bible where it says, I have decided for Jesus. Nowhere it is there. Nowhere. Christ never said, decide for me. He is the one deciding for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, we read there that we love him because he first loved us. He made the first step to come into our sin-sick world. And he paid the price, he paid the penalty to rescue us and to save us from our sins. So assurance, again, is very important. Now, second, it's not only it shows the difference between us, Reformed faith, and the Armenians, but the second thing, assurance was a promise by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry we don't have time to turn to the verses. There is a lot to come. But in number two, as I said, the Lord Jesus Christ promised the assurance and the safekeeping of every believer. In John chapter 10, verse 28, he said, we are in his hand, and his hand is in the Father's hand. And the Father is greater than all, and no one can pluck us or snatch us out of his hand. Double lock. double lock in Jesus' hand, in the Father's hand. Just imagine Satan coming and trying to open the hand of the Father and to open the hand of Jesus Christ. He will never be able to do so, because God is invincible. God is impenetrable. But the third thing, not only it is a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also a prayer. In John chapter 17, verse 9, Christ prayed for you and me. Please, my dear friend, show me in the Bible where any one of Christ's prayers have failed. His prayers will never fail. But the fourth thing, one difference between us and the Armenians. Second, it is a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, it is a prayer. But fourth, we are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Look at you and me. Oh, I should speak about me. So small, so frail, so weak. But I'm kept by the power of God. You are kept by the power of God. And the word power there, the Greek word for power in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, it's garrison, garrison, the fortress of God. So you are well kept by the living God. And God gave us all these things to show us how much he loves us. My dear friends, a lack of assurance can be a lack of understanding of the gospel. Did you save yourself? No, not at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, we have the definition of the gospel there. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Because I didn't save myself, God will keep me. The believer perseveres in his Christian walk. Faith in Christ is not a work. Faith in Christ is not a merit. That is why we warn every believer in the churches, beware of easy believism. You know, you find people in their testimony, oh, I heard Jesus loves me and he died for me on the cross of Calvary and I'm a Christian. Where do you find that in the Bible? No repentance, no faith. My dear friends, repentance is a crisis. Oh, look at me. I'm doomed. I'm condemned. I'm wallowing in my own sins. How could I save myself? That is why grace is irresistible, because the only rope that can save you is the rope sent to you by the Lord Jesus Christ in that great rescue operation. So repentance, faith are not merits. They are not works to do. They are gifts of God. You don't buy the gifts of God. You receive them. That is why we often say faith only receives. Faith is the hand that receives. Stretch out your hand and receive freely the forgiveness of God. My dear friends, our assurance is based on what God has said about his Son. That's why I want to draw your attention again. Please, my dear friends, we are not saved by feelings. Our feelings are changing every day. I said every day, every hour. They are fluctuant. They are volatile. I cannot trust them. So don't trust your feelings, but trust the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I want to help you with a dozen of helps related to assurance. Now, here are helps to encourage every believer in his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how can I increase my assurance? Number one, make sure you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first step. That is the sine qua non condition, the prerequisite. What must I do to be saved? believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But again, your faith is never perfect. Your faith will never be perfect. Perfection is for another place. But you see what is perfect? The person, the object of your faith is perfect. Oh, my faith is so weak. My faith is so frail. But Jesus Christ, my Lord, is so perfect and he's so powerful. So you can trust him. And that is so important in speaking about faith. Genuine faith is not just a mere profession. And you hear people, they say, I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, but he's not yet my Lord. Big mistake. It's nowhere in the Bible. You cannot believe in Christ as Savior and not believe in him as Lord. You have to take Christ as a whole, or you don't have him at all. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, there is no such thing called carnal Christian. Some people divide people into three classes: the natural man, the carnal Christian, and the spiritual Christian. It's nowhere in the Bible. There are only two kinds of people: the carnal, natural, or animal man, to use the expression in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the spiritual man. You are a Christian, it means you are a spiritual man. You are a spiritual woman. Why are you spiritual? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit inhabits you. The Holy Spirit is resident in you. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit is president also in you. But look at number two. Not only the first step is faith, but the second step is that there is inward evidence. You know what is that inward evidence? I anticipated mentioning it. We read it in Romans 8. We read that the Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. And because you are a child of God, you can call God Abba, Abba, Father. You know, in New Testament times, a slave couldn't call the head of the home Abba. That is why adoption is a revolutionary doctrine in the Bible. The Jews never adopt anyone. It was a Roman custom. But once you are adopted by God, you will never be disowned. You will never lose your position. And that's amazing. At least to me, that's remarkable. Never lose your position. You are a child of God. You will never lose that position. It doesn't mean you will not sin. It is sad when a Christian falls in sin. But when he falls in sin, he runs to the Lord in repentance, like David did in Psalm 51, asking the Lord not to cast him away, not to withdraw the Holy Spirit from him. Because the repentance God is after is a broken and a contrite heart. The Holy Spirit will witness to your spirit that you are a child of the living God. Number three, assurance comes by doing. Assurance comes by doing. I will explain that. Salvation comes from the cross, but assurance comes from the word. The word is everything. When Satan is whispering in your ears that you are not saved, please go to the word of God. Go to the word of God. That's number one in relation to doing something for the Lord. Go to the word, read the word. Your assurance will only come from the word. But number two, my dear friends, I don't want to offend anyone. God forbid. But I have to be honest with you. Don't you like honesty? Of course you should. Don't you like sincerity? Of course you should. You will never have assurance if you are not doing anything for the Lord. Just a spectator in the church. just taking in the teaching, I guarantee you, you will never have assurance. So assurance comes from the word. Assurance comes from the word. And we do. We are saved to serve. Nobody comes to worship, to be a spectator, just to watch. But we are saved to be doing something for the Lord. What you do for the Lord is the only thing that will remain. Your house will not remain. Your bank account will not remain. Your body will not remain. But what you do for the Lord, it goes into eternity. We believe in human instrumentality. So please, when you leave this house of prayer tonight, ask yourself this week, what am I going to do for the Lord? You know, churches are being emptied. Why? Because we have spectators. You know what we say in Africa? That there are some Christians who are wheelbarrows. You know, a wheelbarrow, if you don't push, it doesn't move. It is sad. In Africa also, they say there are Christians who are like salad, lettuce. What can you do with salad? Nothing. You will never get assurance if you are only a sponge, taking in, doing nothing. You will be like the Dead Sea. It's only accumulating, evaporation only. Not giving anything. You cannot even drink the water from it. But number four, assurance comes by prayer. Do you pray, my dear friend? How much do you pray? I often say prayer is our father tongue. We all have a mother tongue. But prayer is our father tongue. We address our heavenly Father. We come to him like a child comes to his father. And with prayer comes discipline, comes gratitude. Oh, when you pray, the Lord Jesus gave us a pattern in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. We have the Lord's Prayer there. It's a pattern. But I must tell you the sixth one. Assurance comes by living a holy life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no man shall see God. No man shall see God. And God has saved us for holiness' sake. He said, I'm holy, be holy. And I often say, with sin, we need three things. I'm just trying to help in listing these things. First of all, I need to repent. The second, I need to confess my sins to the Lord. And the third, I need to forsake my sins. I didn't invent it. It's in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who hides his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses them and forsake them shall receive mercy. Next one, assurance comes by keeping a holy fellowship. Holy fellowship. Bible says, do not forsake your assembly, your gathering. Oh, my dear friends, please don't abandon your local church. And every member of a local church should be loyal to that church. Here are the four things every Christian should be involved with. First of all, he's converted. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. He's born again. Number two, every born again Christian is baptized. Number three, every born again and baptized Christian is a member of a local church. And number four, every born again, baptized and member Christian is a working Christian, is a serving Christian. So when God calls you home to eternity, the church can say, this woman, this man, loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, sometimes it really grieves my soul when somebody is taken into the next life and the church has no testimony, and the preacher will come. Oh, that sister gone into the next life. She loves traveling around the world. She loves baking. She loves to exercise hospitality. Nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. But when it says, oh, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, she witnessed to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you earlier, this is the only thing that you will take with you in eternity. Not baking cakes and dancing tango or pachanga or whatever music people are dancing around the world. Oh, my dear friends, we have to grieve. My dear friends, we have to grieve. Things are happening in churches today which really didn't happen just 50 years ago. Sunday now is fun day, as they call it. Fun day, not Sunday. The Lord's Day. Remember the Lord's Day. It's a part of the Ten Commandments. But I must tell you again, the next one. Please use the means of grace. What are the means of grace? Prayer, reading the word, attending the services, witnessing, holiness, discipline, redeeming the time, partaking to the Lord's table. All these are the means of grace that will increase your assurance. But I must tell you another one, self-examination. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search my heart, David said. Search my heart and know me. And this man is praying that God will lead him in the right path. Oh, my dear friends, in the morning before you go out, when you read the scriptures, the first thing you do, oh, Lord, help me to examine my heart today, my soul. And in the evening, before you go to bed, you should also ask the same question. But I must tell you another one. I'm not counting them. You can count them for yourself. But the next one is the love for the brethren. Do you love the brethren? You are a member of a new family, the family of God. Where do you spend most of your time? Or with whom do you spend most of your time? Tell me with whom you spend most of your time, and I will tell you who you are. A man is known by his company or by the company he keeps. Oh, my dear friends, let me just tell you one more. What about obedience? Obedience to God. You know what the Bible says? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And this is what the Lord is calling to every believer. But good works also, good works of compassion, good works of witness, good works of holiness. Matthew 5, verse 16. That the light of God may shine upon you, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, my dear friends, I wish I can tell you more, but our time is over. You know, one last one I can put before you, if you want to have assurance, is to think about God's judgment. Not only about God's judgment. Oh, please remember heaven. Heaven. Heaven is your real home. This world is not our home. This world hates our Lord. He hates you. The world hates you. It is certainly not our home. My dear friends, may the Lord increase your assurance. Go to the Lord every day in prayer to increase your faith, to increase your assurance. And to Him alone be all the glory.